Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the 23rd day of Shvat, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Ksubas Perek Shmini, Mishnah Shmoina. This Mishnah continues the previous discussion, and it comes to teach us the halacha that we mentioned there, and that is that all the properties of the deceased brother are mortgaged, are reserved for the ksuba of the widow. And the yavam, the brother of the deceased husband, is not permitted to sell his brother's property, whether before he's done yibum, whether it's after he's done yibum. He's not allowed to sell them. Lo yoma lo, says the Mishnah, the yavam cannot tell his sister-in-law, his yavama, here, Yoksuba is on the table. All this cash I'm putting down the table, that's for Yoksuba. Leave me alone. I want to be able to have freedom to sell my brother's properties. He cannot do that. All the properties that he inherited from his deceased brother are meshubet, are reserved for the Yoksuba. Now, this is moving away from the case of a yavam, an ordinary husband and wife relationship. A man cannot tell his wife, Harek subaseich menechas ala shulchan, here's the your ksuba, this cash that's on the table now is reserved for the ksuba. Let's put it in a bank account or put it away somewhere. That's in trust for you. That's your ksuba. He can't do that. Ela kol nechosav acharen l'ksubasa. All his properties, whether he likes it or not, will be mortgaged for the ksuba, are reserved for the ksuba. And in fact, that's how it's written in the document of the ksuba, that all the properties are acharon l'ksubasa. However, here's one difference, and that is that the husband, in an ordinary case, a husband and a wife, a husband is permitted to sell his properties. It's just that if eventually she's divorced or she's widowed from him, and she has no recourse, there's no way from which she can collect the ksuba from, she can go to the lekucha, she can go to the people who bought properties from her husband and take her ksuba from there. This is different to the yavam. The yavam cannot even sell the properties of his deceased brother in the first place. Gerusha, back to the yavam. What happens when the yavam has performed the act of yibum, he's taken his deceased brother's wife, and then he divorced her? And now he has to pay the ksuba. Ein lo el ksubasa. All she's got is the ksuba. In other words, he gives her the money of the ksuba, and then he can sell and do what he likes with all the property, all the estate that he's received from his deceased brother. But that's only after he's divorced her and she collects the ksuba. As long as he has not divorced her, he cannot sell the properties, the estate of his brother. They're all reserved for the ksuba. Hechzira. Now, what happens if the yavam, after divorcing her, before she collected the ksuba, took her back again? Hari kechol anoshim. She's like all other women. In other words, the one who's megarish her, who divorced her and he took her back, we say that he takes her back relying on the first ksuba, the original ksuba. Ve'ein lo el ksuba sabulbat. And she only gets that ksuba that her deceased husband had written her. And of course, the properties that the yavam was yorish from him are also mortgaged to this ksuba. The Gemara explains that this part of the Mishnah is letting us know, that if she did not collect her ksuba before he took her back again, she doesn't get any extra ksuba from the yavam. He doesn't have to take out more cash or more property. It's simply the ksuba is what was left from her first husband, from her deceased husband. And for that very reason, the yavam is not allowed to sell the properties of his deceased brother, even though he was megarisha, he divorced her, and he took her back again, because she hasn't yet collected, if she had not yet collected the ksuba before he took her back again. Perek Tashi, Mishnah Aleph. We're going to talk here about what happens when a husband wants to forfeit his rights in properties of Nichse Milug. Remember that Nichse Milug are properties that he doesn't own the guf of the property, the actual Karen. He only can take the fruits. He can eat the fruits of the property. Says the Mishnah, Hakosev Lishtoi, a person who writes to his wife the following waiver. Din udvarim eini bin chasaych. I hereby remove or relinquish all rights to your properties. And he says this once she's still in Arusa. She still haven't come together yet in a chuppah. She's living in her father's house. And he writes to her, he says, when you get married to me officially with a chuppah, then I remove any rights I have your properties. Or even if he just says it. What can he still have? Says the Mishnah Harizeh Ochel Peres Bechayah. He can still eat the fruits of those properties while she's alive. Why? Because what we say is he didn't mean to relinquish his rights on the fruits of the property, but rather the properties themselves, the guf of the property. Vimesa, and if she died in his lifetime, Yorsha, he will inherit her and he will keep the actual property itself. We say that he didn't mean to relinquish his right to her property after death. We meant in her lifetime, while she was alive. Indeed, the words bin chosayich, your properties, imply that while she's alive, then he doesn't have any rights to them. After death, yes. Im kein, if so, lama kosav lo din udvarim eli bin chosayich. So why did he write, I've got no rights in your property? What exactly did he relinquish? If he can still have rights to her, to the fruits of her property, and he's yorish at the property, when she dies. She mochra v'nosna kayom. To tell us that if she goes ahead and sells the property, her properties, or gives them away as a gift, kayom, that the transaction is valid, and the husband cannot go and take it out of the hands of the buyers. Can't do that. That's normally he can, but not in a case where he has given, he's relinquished his rights in the actual property. So she has that right. She can sell and give away the properties, and that cannot be undone. Cost of law, what happens if he writes to her, Dinu dvarim eini bin chosayich uver feiroi sehen. I relinquish my rights to your property and their fruits. Well, in that case, harizeh eino oichel peres b'chayah, he can't even eat the fruits while she's alive. Ve'imeisa yorsha, but he still will be yorsha. He'll inherit all the properties after she dies because it's only her fruits while she's alive. That's the implication. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo'olam oichel peres. Even though he cannot eat the fruits when he relinquishes his rights, and he mentions the fruits, but he can eat the fruits of the fruits, meaning to say that the husband can sell the fruits, buy land with it, so she's still got Karen, she's still got the proceeds of the sale have been invested in real estate, and then eat the fruits of that land, because the husband has only removed himself from the direct fruits of the ground of her property, but not fruits of the fruits. And ad she yichtev la, until the husband writes and relinquishes the following, dinu dvarim ein li bin chosayich uver feresein ad olam. Until he says, I will have no recourse to your properties, their fruits, or the fruits of their fruits forever. And then, indeed, he will not be able to have any fruits of the property, even if they've been invested in real estate, and and there's now more fruits of them. Kosav la din udvarim eini bin chasaych uveferoisein uveferoisein b'chayich uvemoisech. Now, what happens if he says, not only do I relinquish my rights to your properties and their fruits and the fruits of their fruits, but both in your lifetime and after your lifetime, after you die, then ein ochel peres b'chayeha. He not only cannot eat fruits while she's alive, but if she dies, he will not be Yerusha. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he argues, he says, Imesa Yerushana. That he cannot relinquish. If she dies, he will still inherit her. Even if he says explicitly, B'chayeich of Amosech, when you're alive or when you're dead. This condition cannot stop his rights to the Yerusha. And why is that? Mipnei shehisna al masha kosav haTorah. Because he has made a condition which changes what the Torah says. The Torah says, V'yorash oisa, and he shall inherit her. From here we learn that a husband is yorash his ishtai. A husband inherits his wife. V'chol amasna masha kosav haTorah t'noi batal. And if a person makes a condition that goes against what the Torah says, the condition is invalid. And therefore, even if his wife dies, the husband will be Yerusha. Now, the Gemara concludes that although the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and indeed if she dies, he will Yerusha, the part of being min haTorah, the Yerusha, that is not the case. The Yerusha of a husband, the fact that the husband can inherit his wife after death is midrabbanon. And even though there is a pasuk for it, we say it's an asmachta, it's a support, it's not really the halacha min haTorah. But as we said, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, still, nevertheless, that if she dies, he will be Yerusha, albeit even though it's a din of Rabbanon that is Yerusha, but the Chachamim wanted to put chizuk, wanted to give strength to their takana, to give it as if it was something min haTorah, and therefore they said he cannot make a condition to stop that Yerusha, and he will inherit her, regardless of that Tanai, the condition that he made.